For over 50 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green provides you with the kind of personalized help and attention that mass market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, customer service, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week. My wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be hosting that show. Today, we are talking with Dr. Will Cole, and we're going to be covering the topic that we could probably spend every single week dedicating the entire show to. And I know I say that about so many topics, but we're going to be talking about gut health. And I'm really excited to have Dr. Cole on the phone with me today because, as you know, while I've been doing this show and Dana's been doing this show for like 8 years, and both of us have a wealth of knowledge and information to bring to the table, having other experts in the field has always been our model of producing the show, so that we constantly are bringing fresh perspectives, new ideas, new cutting-edge therapies related to health and wellness to you every single week. And that's really what it's all about. I could be the most brilliant, well-educated, natural doctor on the face of the planet, but that doesn't mean that other perspectives and other people are going to have other ideas that are equally as important and as valuable for each one of you listeners out there today. So while gut health is a topic we've covered probably many, many times and is a topic that we talk about over and over again, different perspectives and different ideas, especially when it comes to gut health, because the research and the emphasis on how important this system is to the body is just growing and growing by volumes every single day. It's almost difficult to keep up with. So from my perspective, it's wonderful to have special guests that are teaching me new things every, single week on the show. And, you know, that's what we're going to be achieving today. Dr. Will Cole, leading functional medicine practitioner, specializes in clinically investigating underlying factors and customizing health programs for chronic conditions such as thyroid issues, autoimmune, hormonal dysfunctions, and more. He consults locally in the Pittsburgh area, as well as webcam and phone consultations for people across the country and across the world. Dr. Cole is a health writer for international publications such as Mind Body Green and lectures nationally. Dr. Cole, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sure. So, I'm part of your practice model, my practice model, a lot of the practice models that most people who are seeing more integrative holistic doctors interface with has gotten a name that I think is important to kind of go through. Some people call it a lot of confusion about what to call what it is we do. And the confusion's gotten less so over the last 10 years as these approaches to health have gotten more popularized. But it could be everything from, naturopathy, homeopathy, you do nutrition, you do this, you do that. One term that's getting a little bit more traction these days because it doesn't really categorize somebody as any specific kind of provider, not a naturopath, not a chiropractor, not a nutritionist, not a homeopath, not a medical doctor, is a term called functional medicine. Do you want to just briefly start off the show describing kind of that term a little bit, because it sort of is fundamental, and then understanding where we're coming at the rest of the conversation today?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a good place to start. And if I had to boil it down, you're right, there's a lot of overlap, and functional medicine is a term that that maybe is people are becoming more aware of. But another word for functional medicine is integrative medicine or systems medicine. So if I had to boil it down, like the main differences of what we do in functional medicine and comparing that to mainstream medicine, number one, we interpret labs using a thinner reference range. So everybody that's listening knows when they get the labs that they get from their doctor, they'll have their number on their labs, and they'll typically have this reference range, just sort of X to Y, and it says, you know, your number is being compared to this reference range. Well, we get the reference range from a statistical bell curve average of the population of that specific lab. And I mean, people that typically go to labs are people with health problems. So if you go to another lab, you'll see that reference range will vary from lab to lab, other than maybe cholesterol, vitamin D. There's a few standardized biomarkers, but for the most part, these are variable. And there's a lot of people that get these labs done, and the labs largely, if not entirely, come back normal, even though the person knows, heck, I don't feel normal, but they're told, you're just depressed, here's an antidepressant, or you're just getting older, or they've sent to another specialist with more labs showing them that everything's fine, even though they know they're not fine. What they're really unintentionally being told is that they're a lot like the other sick people that make up the population of that lab. So in functional medicine, we are taking people with health problems out of that reference range, and what's left is a much thinner bracket of numbers of where your body's thriving, where people feel fantastic, they're living long, healthy lives. And there's a lot of people that are on the tail end of those reference ranges that are symptomatic, they don't feel well, or they have increased risk factors, but they're waiting until you're outside of that reference range to diagnose you and give you a medication for it. And we don't want to be reactive and say, well, let's wait here outside of the average of people who go to labs to then give you a medication. What can we do now? So that's the first thing we do differently in functional medicine. And then we run more comprehensive labs, which obviously I know that you're well-versed in. But we're looking at these root issues, like whatever's most relevant to the case, but things like microbiome issues or gut problems or toxicity issues or hormonal imbalances, nutrient deficiencies, food sensitivity, so whatever's pertinent to the case. But we're looking at the root issue of why people feel the way that they do. The reason why those typically aren't ran in the mainstream model is not because the person's doctor is, you know, nefarious and keeping information from them. It just doesn't change the treatment in the standard model of care. It's superfluous. But from a functional medicine standpoint, it is going to change how we approach that patient's care. And then we, in functional medicine, we also realize everybody's different. So there's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all to getting well. And you can have a dozen people with the same diagnosis code, and what works for one person can flare the next person up. So we try not to have a bias that's, you know, this is the way that everybody with, you know, syndrome X, whatever the diagnosis code is, should do things, because we'll probably be proven wrong with the next patient. So we have to look at their labs comprehensively. We have to look at their health history comprehensively, and then look in their life and see what's working and what's not working in their real life. So we use food as medicine, we use herbal botanical medicines, we use lifestyle changes and medications when needed to really be comprehensive to the individual. So that's my long-winded sermon on functional medicine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great overview of some of the differences in how things are sort of juxtaposed. And I mean, it's a combination of a lot of different issues. Functional medicine and the process in which you just described, that you take people through in searching for solutions for their health problems, it doesn't necessarily fit in the current medical model, which was really designed around crisis intervention and disease care, not really promoting health care. So there's not really a green light in medicine to give a therapy until there's been an identified abnormality or pathology established. And in the way in which they've tried to sort of condense it is to, in some ways, I mean, valiant efforts to try and standardize medicine in some ways. But the problem is that people's bodies can't really be standardized and fit in each and every different person's mold. It's a very antiquated way of looking at health. And while it applies in some situations, if that's how you try and manage a large population of people with chronic illnesses, you're not going to get very far. But the model has already been established, and that model, unfortunately, has been driven by forces outside of just pure medicine, you know, and driven by forces of insurance reimbursement and driven by forces of pharmaceutical interventions, which have basically narrowed the field down to these very specific guidelines of what or what might not require an intervention based on things like you discussed, like lab tests, insurance reimbursement models where doctors are restricted in the time they can spend with each patient to be able to basically run their business. Our medicine isn't socialized. It's not funded by the government. So doctors graduate school with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. It's not uncommon for a primary care doctor to graduate a good medical school with $200,000 or $300,000 in debt. If you're a specialist, it may be close to $500,000 or more. And imagine if two physicians are married together, it's not uncommon to see doctors graduating with debts close to $1 million. And so they have to pay that debt back. They have staff to pay. And the only way that they can get in their reinsurance reimbursement is to see X amount of people a day, which confines the appointment time, confines the time they can spend with people, and basically then leads them to solutions that are very black and white, which is your labs look here. And if they're here, this is the intervention we're going to use. And there's a select amount of interventions that are considered standard of care, usually in range of pharmaceuticals or surgical interventions that they can choose from and apply. And that how it's gotten all shaken down to be. Unfortunately, many people walk around with not necessarily pathological disorders, or they may even have a pathological problem that they want more answers to. Well, why did this happen to me, doctor? What other things can I do? Was the food that I eat, could that affect how I feel? Are there things outside of medication interventions that might be helpful for me? Are there lifestyle things that I can do? What's, you know, and so they're starting to ask questions, and that is now outside of what the medical doctors are doing. And we're asking now some more of these functional questions, because you have to dig down and figure out, well, what is your condition? What makes it up? What are the imbalances in your body that may be contributing to it? And how do we address those? These are the nutritional factors we may look at, and that may differ from person to person. These are the lifestyle factors we may apply for the situation, and that may differ person to person. And so it becomes this much broader exercise in evaluating people at their most fundamental level and looking at all of these different imbalances that may be occurring in their life. And, you know, you said that very, very well, Dr. Cole. You know, while 10 people may present with the same outward, quote unquote, symptom, like, let's say, irritable bowel syndrome, all 10 of them may require some type of different or individualized approach in order to get the resolution desired. And the only way to understand what that path is to the best resolution is going to be to understand the individual factors for that person, which mean not just running the standard lab tests, but looking at other lab tests, looking at other lifestyle factors, and really looking at their case from, you know, what we consider to be truly a functional medicine model. And that sounds like exactly what you and what you do, and I believe sets the tone of what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the show. Because of the rest of the show, we're really interested in understanding the role of the gut and the GI system, which, you know, in the field of naturopathic medicine, where I was trained, it has always been said, before even any of the really exciting research on the gut microbiome and all of this stuff, for the last 80 years, naturopathic physicians have been saying, the health starts with the gut. And that is a place where we need to look to fundamentally establish health in that area, and then it can spread outwardly. And I think in the rest of the show today, Dr. Cole will talk about a lot of the issues related to health that start with the gut, to help people understand how something like that can be influencing the health overall. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Cole, I'd like to hear all of your wonderful, educational, interesting insights into gut health, and we will start getting this conversation off in a very exciting way. Don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passera with The Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Are you under a lot of stress these days? Pressure from your job, personal life, politics? It can all take a serious toll on your health. but we can help. Village Green Apothecary can help you achieve a healthier lifestyle with our wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 50 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't meet? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. Our expert team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths who can offer you advice on nutritional products and personalized healthy living plans. We also offer specialized lab and micronutrient testing to our customers. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you for tuning in. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be back next week. Don't forget, you can stream all of our previously recorded shows. You can go to www.myvillagegreen.com. On the right-hand side of the homepage, click on the microphone icon. It'll take you to our archive show section. And we've got archives of like 8 years of doing the show. There's a ton of great information there for you. You can also stream the show on iTunes. Just type in the Essentials of Healthy Living or stream it online on Sundays as well. We air every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Today we're talking with Dr. William Cole, a leading functional medicine practitioner specializing in clinically investigating underlying factors of many different health conditions. And today we're talking about GI health. We discussed a little bit in the last segment, functional medicine. Dr. Cole, let's get into gut health. We could definitely spend the rest of the show easily talking about this. Tell us some of your philosophies or interest or how you see the health of the GI system tied into sort of the greater health of the body and of human physiology in general.
Yeah, so I'm the same way as you. I could talk about this for hours. I'm definitely a gut health nerd, and it is something that precedes functional medicine, obviously. And I think people in the alternative health world have been saying this for decades. And even going back further than that, Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, you know, the author of the Hippocratic Oath, he said, all disease begins in the gut. And now really research is catching up with antiquity, that about 90% of chronic health problems that we face today as a modern society, at least to some degree, begin in the gut, if not entirely begin in the gut. So it's a major facet. And I think the trickle down from the research into the blogosphere and the clinical setting, seeing patients, is really, we're at the cusp of it. We're really at the forefront of how we can deal with not only gastrointestinal, GI, you know, digestive issues, but the implication that the gut has on, you know, the far-reaching implications of it. And, you know, it's 80% of our immune system, the gastrointestinal system. So when you're dealing with different immune problems, it's, some researchers say it's a precondition for autoimmunity, which we know about 50 million Americans, sadly, have an autoimmune disease. So that's my top patient base of people with autoimmune conditions. And we do find that it is really prevalent in these people with these chronic autoimmune inflammation problems or chronic underlying gut issues. Mm-hmm. And many people listening may think, well, I go to the bathroom all right, I should be fine. That's not for me. My gut is just great. But you don't have to necessarily have severe gut symptoms to have underlying gut problems. And many people are asymptomatic as far as GI, but they're actually, you're seeing the downstream impact of an unhealthy gut in their brain or in their immune system or inflammation systemically. So it's kind of the core place to look at. If you're wanting looking at, okay, what's the most probable piece of the puzzle for someone's health issue? It's not always going to be the case, but it's very common to see these underlying gut issues play in the part. And it's associated in the medical literature to not only autoimmune issues, but heart disease and blood sugar, diabetes issues, weight loss resistance, a lot of stuff. So it's it's paramount. I think that people understand that because they're so removed from it, and they think, well, it's just my blood sugar, or it's just my weight loss resistance, or it's just my fatigue. But I find that the gut plays a major role to a lot of these issues.
Yeah, I mean, almost any chronic health condition that most people deal with or are concerned with has legitimate medical research to show that these issues can be connected. And I mean, sometimes we haven't necessarily always proven in every single situation that, you know, correlation means causation, but correlation mm-hmm. can still be an important factor and an important issue. I mean, we've linked gut health and gut issues to depression and mood problems. We've linked it to heart disease. We've linked it to diabetes. We've linked it now to cognitive issues like Alzheimer's and dementia. It's been linked to certain types of cancer. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about the top three causes of death of Americans are going to be, I think it's heart disease, cancer, and stroke, and then diabetes. That's the top four, right? I mean, we've linked gut health to every single one of those. So mm-hmm. Dr. Cole, tell me a little bit about, or let me engage you in this conversation. What is it about modern culture or about our lives that makes so many people predisposed to gut problems? Because now we're looking at our population. A lot of people are walking around with these issues, with autoimmune conditions, with all sorts of problems. So obviously, we're not taking as good care of the complex digestive system that we've been given. And you don't see some of these issues as much in people that eat very traditional diets and do, you know, more sort of simple lifestyles. Like, what are some of the main driving factors that predispose somebody to having an issue that starts with the GI system being imbalanced?
I think it starts with really looking at a mismatch between our genetics, and not only our genetics, but the genetics of the microbiome and the world around us. So our genes and the microbiome obviously haven't changed in 10,000 years, research estimates, but the world around us has changed very dramatically in a very short period of time. So what researchers are looking at is this mismatch between our DNA and the world around us, and these epigenetic environmental things are awakening things that latently have been there all along. These genetic methylation impairments or whatever you want to talk about, our genes haven't changed, but they're being stressed out and triggered and put to the brink of being triggering these health problems, unlike any time in human history. So it's a mixture. It's not a one thing, but it's a lot of different stressors that are messing up our microbiome mm-hmm. and triggering these latent genetic problems. So it's the foods that we're eating. It's the lack of variety of foods that we're eating. I mean, most Americans are eating pretty much the same foods every day. They're not having a variety of foods. And the foods that we eat feed our microbiome, and they feed this gut garden. And I mean, you're not feeding the gut garden really well with a lot of different foods. That decreases bacterial diversity, which is really at the heart of a lot of this microbiome research, is that all these colonies of bacteria, you have to think of them as like a big microbiome metropolis, this big city with all these different colony-forming units, these different neighborhoods of bacteria. And what researchers are finding is that these really important colonies there's a lack of diversity of them when someone's diet is not very diverse, is not filled with nutrient-dense foods. They're kind of eating the standard American diet, or they're eating very limited amount of foods, and that's going to impact the diversity of the microbiome. So I think it starts with food, but it's also medications and things like NSAIDs that people are put on, or antibiotics, obviously, and that's decimating this bacterial diversity, and it's alcohol can really mess up the microbiome as well. So I think it's a lot of things. And then non-food stuff like stress and environmental toxins, all of this stuff can really do damage to this microbiome.
Yeah, I mean, and it is. The assault on the microbiome comes from everywhere and anywhere, and it really starts like immediately in many people in our culture with birth. I mean, the whole process of being born, one of the most important aspects of it is to properly establish a microbiome. The child or the baby, developing baby's gut is sterile when in utero. The only thing it's swallowing is amniotic fluid, which is supposed to be sterile, which it basically is. As the baby's being born and it comes down the birth canal, the microflora that inhibits a woman's reproductive area is the same pretty much microflora that inhibit the gut. And as the baby comes down through the birth canal, they get their first inoculation with bacteria. That's where it's supposed to happen. So you do a C-section and you bypass that inoculation. The baby will get inoculated with bacteria that are on the skin, that are on the doctor's gloves when he pulls the baby out, that are around the nursery. It's completely different, and they've shown that to absolutely be the case. And they've also shown that C-section babies have higher risks of certain types of conditions like obesity and heart disease even later in life. And many people believe that this has to do with the initial phases of inoculating the GI system with the correct bacteria. You know, there's an interesting There's a center in, I think it was in Norway. It was the entire research center is dedicated to nothing but researching the effects and benefits of breast milk, which, you know, sounds kind of boring, but breast milk is an amazing thing. And the way that a woman's body produces breast milk is unbelievably complex, meaning that the mom's body knows when the baby's sick and will increase immunoglobulin output into the breast milk, will change the concentration of macronutrients in the breast milk based on, you know, what the baby needs at any particular day or time. It's really quite unbelievable. But one of the things they discovered in early breast milk is they isolated a type of sugar that they thought was, you know, they realized, wow, this must be so important for the developing baby. And they started studying it and looking at it. And what they realized was that the baby's digestive system can't even digest that sugar at that phase. It's basically useless for the baby. And they were really puzzled and said, why? Why would a woman's body make, you know, such a high concentration of this type of sugar in breast milk at this very early fetal development stage, and the baby can't even utilize it? Well, what they come to find out is that type of sugar is the primary food source for the lactobacillus and acidophilus species that inhabit the baby's gut. So Mother Nature has designed preferentially for the microflora to be fed and nurtured and nourished from day one, because that is so incredibly important in the baby's development later on. And we start, let's say you bypassed a C-section, had a regular vaginal birth, but then formula fed instead of breastfed. Well, that completely changes the microflora. Let's say you had a good, you know, natural birth, you breastfed, but then for some reason there was an unidentified food allergen in the baby's diet and they had recurrent otitis media ear infections and got antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic for their ear infections during their youth. Well, that messes up the gut flora. Let's say you bypass that or have all of those factors, C-section, bottle fed, repeated ear infections, antibiotics. And then let's say it's a female and into hormonal ages with all those imbalances that have been set up from the beginning. Now she's having very difficult time with her menstrual cycle. So she's put on birth control. That further dysregulates hormones, or another dysregulating factor for the gut flora. On top of that, eating a standard American diet of sugar, low fiber foods, highly processed fiber, lots of meat, animal products, dairy products, things that in small quantities aren't unhealthy, but we know these aren't the things that foster optimal gut health. And you do all of that, the body's so resilient and so strong that even in the face of all of those insults, 90% of people, 95% of people can get through life looking actually pretty healthy. But then as we get older and none of those things are undone, then the autoimmune conditions come out, then the inflammatory conditions come out, then the GI issues come out. The body can't take the stress any longer. And it's up to doctors like myself and Dr. Cole to go back and look at people and evaluate them where they're at and start bringing them down a completely different path to healing their GI system and healing their health. And the most resilient thing about the body, and Dr. Cole, I'm sure you can agree, is you can look back at somebody's health history and identify that literally from day one, like I just described, they've had insults to what would be optimal for the human body. And that is just pure scientific fact based on physiology from dating back thousands and thousands of years. They could be going completely against that grain, come to see us at age 35 with a medical condition, start working with them to rebalance and start to see them make dramatic improvements in, I don't know, 4 weeks, sometimes as little as 2 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Maybe they're not completely healed, but the amount of improvement that we're seeing is so incredibly phenomenal. And that's after 30 some years of basically doing the wrong thing. That is how resilient, how powerful, how amazing our body is, that it can heal and every cell is constantly trying to drive itself towards health. We just sometimes have to get the obstacles out of the way. So you see the same thing in your practice, right, Dr. Cole?
Absolutely. I mean, it amazes me when people go years of their life feeling miserable and doing everything their doctor is telling them to do. We're not talking about non-compliant patients. These are patients that are literally, they want to feel well and they trust their doctor implicitly. But despite doing everything, quote unquote, right, everything that their doctor is telling them to do, they're still feeling lousy. And it amazes me how resilient, as you said, how resilient the body is. It definitely isn't a quick fix. We're not talking about some, utopian quick fix. This is a journey for sure. But you can start seeing, as you said, these benefits pretty quickly for most people. And, I mean, it's estimated that the gut takes about 18 to 24 months to really get the place of strength for people that are dealing with chronic, autoimmune issues and intestinal permeability issues. But then as people obviously going through less severe issues than that, they can start really rebounding very quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I would sort of state that from my experience, it actually is a quick fix. You know, in the sense of how I see people respond. Sometimes I see people improve so dramatically in such a short period of time. It's faster than what a medication could do. I mean, I've seen people, have cholesterol lowered. I 2 weeks ago, I followed up with a woman whose cholesterol dropped. It was way up into the 300s. It had dropped like 120 points in 4 weeks just based on nutrition changes and a nutrition program she was doing. Like, cholesterol meds couldn't do that. And she was feeling better than she had felt in regards to her digestion, in regards to achy joints, in regards to, soreness, in regards to her energy levels. That is the quickest fix you could possibly imagine. The thing that's not quick about it is that it's a complete reorientation of lifestyle for most people. Mm-hmm. And that part is the slow learning curve. But what the body can do is incredibly fast. And if the right things are implemented and people allow themselves to be guided in the right direction and follow through with it, the resolution of conditions in like 80 to 90% of cases can happen incredibly speedily, faster than what is oftentimes I see with medication intervention. So it's really exciting. It's just trying to figure out what person needs to do. And that's the part that takes time to figure out, because people have to redesign their lifestyle, often at a time in life where they've been doing the same thing for 30 or 40 years. So Dr. Cole, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit more about like some of the specific issues that come up that you see commonly with GI health, how we fix it. What are some of the strategies and tools that are absolutely essentially necessary for most people in order to start bringing better health back to the GI system and therefore improving their overall health? This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after these words.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green Apothecary, we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more. That's right. In addition to our big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. Today and every day at Village Green, we care about our customers. We've been providing the best nutrition and healthy living products for over 50 years. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. I have on the phone with me today Dr. William Cole. We've been talking about GI health and gut health, and in the last segment, we touched upon some of its importance, touched on sort of, you know, the influences that we face in our modern world that really throw off gastrointestinal health and GI health and you know, why it's so common. You know, we talked a little bit about sort of philosophically, Dr. Cole, you know, that all the way back to even the father of medicine describing the importance of the digestive system in health. I know in this segment we were going to talk about some of the ways to start fixing it, but I mean, are there any other things that come to mind for you in, as far as helping people to understand the impact of like how this whole nervous system, how this whole system of our body, the small intestine and the large intestine and all the associated lymphatic tissue and all the bacteria and the way they interact with our immune system, like how that whole system influences what happens elsewhere in our body? It may help people understand why this is so important and how something that's happening in their digestive system may be affecting their brain.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that, I mean, just to start there, your gut and brain are formed from the same fetal tissue. So when, you know, when you were growing in your mom's womb, your gut and brain formed from the same fetal tissue and are inextricably linked for the rest of your life through what researchers refer to as the gut-brain axis. And it's the sort of gut-brain communication line, and it's bidirectional. The gut influences the brain and vice versa. And 95% of serotonin levels, the happy neurotransmitter, is made in the gut, stored in the gut. Many hormones and neurotransmitters have huge foundational implications in the health of the microbiome. So there's a whole field of research looking at this as the influence that the gut can have on our brains. And we mentioned, you know, quickly the correlation between different imbalances of the microbiome and its association with anxiety and depression. But also it's researchers are now finding it as far as it being a causation for different neurological autoimmune issues like MS and Parkinson's and autism, these inflammatory issues. And there's a whole field of research referred to as this cytokine model of cognitive function, basically how inflammation impacts how your brain works. And anxiety, depression, brain fog, ADD, HD, autism, all that stuff that we're seeing in growing numbers, sadly, have its roots in inflammation. And a lot of that inflammation and the dysfunction really has its roots in the microbiome and in our gut health.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so cool. I mean, you know, I like how you explained it, like antiquity sort of catching up with research, and that it always just makes me giggle a little bit as I get carried away and the research, and, you know, I get really excited about it. But, you know, there's literally been times when I've been at a lecture or a seminar and heard somebody talk about how the cellular mechanisms of detoxification that are stimulated through the consumption of broccoli. And I think it's so incredibly cool. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And then I just sit and I think about it. And I'm like, did I really need that person to explain to me why broccoli is good for me? I mean, probably not. People have been talking about it. My grandma was talking about it. Her grandma was talking about it. We've known it for so long. But, you know, as somebody that has always been completely enamored and in complete awe of human biochemistry and physiology and human biology in general, it's really cool to see the different ways of, you know, understanding how these things influence. And it's the same thing with the GI system. So we come across all of this incredible research about how the microbiome, the bugs, these bacteria interface with the cells of our large intestine, of our small intestine, of our GI system, and the signaling that occurs and the way that it influences the release of certain types of what are called cytokines and prostaglandins, things that either fuel inflammation or quench inflammation or trigger a reaction, modulate blood sugar, do things all over the body. And that is really what it comes down to. And this is what I tell people. I mean, yes, if you have a GI problem, you go to your gastroenterologist. If you have a brain problem, you go to a neurologist or a psychologist. If you have a joint problem, you go to a rheumatologist. You know, if you have a female problem, you go to a gynecologist. If it's a urinary problem, a urologist. We've like taken every single system of the body and created a specialty, which is great because each system's complex and it's nice to have a physician that has dedicated their career to that. But it gives people the impression that we can just treat our body as if it was just these literally separate things we're carrying around in a suitcase, you know, and you get to one doctor and you put the suitcase down and open it and you say, work on this part. Like, it doesn't work that way. If you're eating something or you have a microbial imbalance in your digestive system or are doing something that is causing an inflammatory reaction in your intestine, how long do you think it takes for those inflammatory chemicals to travel in your bloodstream from where they're produced in your bloodstream, intestine or lymphatic tissue to your brain? Or to your joints, or to your skin, or to your thyroid? Like, how long? I don't know. I mean, the heart beats however many times blood can travel from your heart. A second? Maybe two at most? I mean, that is literally what's going on. The blood flow doesn't stay right there. The blood flows all through our body. And those chemicals flow all through our body. And that's why somebody can have something happening in their digestive system causing symptoms somewhere else and really have no idea. And the research just keeps coming up and identifying all of these elaborate ways in which what happens in the gut creates these very important signaling processes that dictate health in many other places in the body. So we've talked a lot, Dr. Cole, about the gut biome, right? And I think what we're going to try and talk about is what we can do to better support gut health. So let's talk about that and give people some solutions before we head into the next one. I mean, what are some of the biggest issues you see come up with gut microbiology imbalances? And like, what are some of the things that generally speaking are part of your regimens for helping people to establish a better, healthier, which usually means more diverse population of bacteria in their GI system?
I think it starts with getting a baseline for yourself, since we all have a different microbiome, you know, even identical twins. I just spoke to identical twins recently, and they said they did microbiome sequencing tests, and they only share about 30 to 40% of their microbiome, identical twins born from the same mom. So we all have this unique microbiome, and it's important to get a baseline for where you're starting at and what's even pertinent to your case, because we're going to talk about things that are good for a lot of people, but you know, it's really down to that personalization of, I think, what's most relevant to you and what you're going through. So running labs, running quality labs, finding a good functional medicine doctor. And these are labs that I'm primarily running a virtual functional medicine practice, or we would just typically just drop ship labs and do Skype or FaceTime or something like that to go over these. But so basically getting a baseline, a lot of the things that we see do have to do with the lack of bacterial diversity, but also we see dysbiosis of the microbiome, or like bacterial overgrowth, like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is associated with different autoimmune type issues. So people with IBS or these, you know, inflammatory bowel issues or acid reflux oftentimes have these SIBO type issues, these bacterial overgrowths. Mm-hmm. So dealing with dysbiosis and looking for any yeast and fungal overgrowth, which we all have some levels of these, but looking for just an overgrowth of things like candida, looking for intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome. So we run antibodies. We run tests to look for antibodies against lipopolysaccharides, which are these bacterial endotoxins that from gram-negative bacteria, basically these pro-inflammatory LPS polysaccharides that are linked to autoimmune issues and brain inflammation and systemic inflammation, and looking at digestion and absorption and inflammation in the gut. So these are things that we'd want to see from a baseline standpoint. But then it's then personalizing the treatment protocol. So if there is a bacterial overgrowth, we use natural antibiotics to start with, things like berberine and powder arco and oregano to help kill off that bacterial overgrowth. But I think somebody, you know, without looking at everybody that's listening's labs right now, I think what's good is just to start with your food. I think you can't supplement your way out of a poor diet. You're going to have to really work on getting a variety of foods, and food for the microbiome is primarily vegetables. So eating a variety of different vegetables, researchers say getting, you know, dozens, like 24, 30 even vegetables rotating throughout your weeks, throughout your months. And just to get a variety of foods for the microbiome, because the foods that you eat, the bacteria eat, and they make short-chain fatty acids, which you need for your immune system and your metabolism. So I think that's a good place to start. And fermented foods can be a good idea that work for a lot of people, like sauerkraut or kimchi or coconut kefir or something like that. So those are some good starts. And another good tool that we use that I think most people can benefit from is intermittent fasting, which I know that you probably have talked a lot about it on your show, but it's basically just times of not eating to allow your gut time to heal and reset and bring inflammation levels down. So it's you know, antithetical to the American eating. Is the idea of missing a meal is so like abhorrent to us, but times of intermittent fasting can be really healing to the gut, and sipping on bone broth and these sort of gut healing foods can be a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, I firmly believe with, you know, like you, Dr. Cole, I mean, it starts with nutrition. I mean, you know, you can do some great testing on people and get a bunch of data back that may suggest, you know, a imbalance of yeast-related organisms, which is common based on, you know, the amount of sugar, alcohol, processed food, antibiotic therapy that people take. You can find small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You can find all these things. And the reality is that whether they're prescription or natural antimicrobials, antifungals, whatever you choose to use, typically if there's not some sort of important dietary intervention layered on top, the long-term success is really not even worth mentioning. There really needs to be some type of nutritional modification to effectively address these issues, and that lends itself to the importance of nutrition in the microflora of the GI system. And that's basically what every research study has shown. While probiotics are something I utilize often in my practice and very useful and very powerful therapies, really they only create transient shifts in the microflora of the gut. And really, we know that food is what continually can transform the microflora of the gut, because you have to eat every day. You're not going to necessarily take a probiotic pill every single day for the rest of your life, but you're going to eat pretty much every single day for the rest of your life if you want to stay alive. And the foods that you're choosing to put in your system will dictate what type of bacteria want to inhabit your system. And they've done really, you know, great research on this in humans, where they've shown that if you eat a diet that's really rich in a lot of vegetables, your gut flora within 24 hours can start shifting to a more favorably diverse gut flora. If you switch to only eating meat for 24 to 48 hours, your gut flora starts shifting back that quickly as well. Because we know that the primary thing that the gut flora, the gut bacteria associated with good health, the most important thing that they need is fiber from plants, mostly vegetables. Those are the fundamental prebiotics that help feed the digestive bacteria, which in turn create the short-chain fatty acids as part of their metabolic process, which then is the preferred fuel source for the cells that line our GI system. So in order to have a fuel source or food necessary for your cells, you've got to put the right things in. So lots of, you know, fibrous fiber from plants, and that's not necessarily fruit, but vegetables. And that's why they say do things like, if you're going to prep kale, steam kale or saute it, that's a, you know, the natural industry's little darling vegetable right now. You know, don't just strip the leaves off the stem. Ideally, you include the stem. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's chewy. Yes, it's not as easy to make it taste palatable. But what we know is that that contains the fiber that is really some of the most important parts of what establishes a good gut flora. You know, the stem on the broccoli, all the things that we tend to throw out and avoid are some of the things that we really need to eat. And if you think about it, as humans, when we were looking for food and you couldn't just walk to the grocery store and fill up a grocery bag full of food, and we were more, you know, 5,000 years ago, hunting and gathering and, you know, things were a little bit more scarce. If you found a good edible plant, you didn't just eat the top off it and throw the rest away. Because you didn't know the next time you were going to find it. You ate the whole thing. And most of the plant actually contains more of this fibrous part than it does the green part that we like to eat, or the, you know, the more delectable part that we like to eat. So our body got exposed to more of it. So it probably shifted the kind of flora that tends to inhabit our GI system, and our entire physiology and gut health started gearing itself around this microflora that we carry. So we can't just expect to change it, you know, in evolutionarily speaking times, or, you know, overnight, and expect there to be no consequences. So it really does start with nutrition. If you can't deal with all of that at once, you can also start focusing on what to get out of your diet. You know, the sugars, the refined carbohydrates, the junk food. Take some time and you know, pack your lunch instead of just driving through the drive-through, you know, or just grabbing what's available in the vending machine, or skipping lunch. Like, take some time to plan your meals out, make yourself a salad, do something that's at least a little bit better than what you're doing. Most people, if they evaluate their diet, they sit down, they can identify the things that they know they're doing that aren't benefiting their health. Start with those, and even if it's not a perfect solution to what you should be doing because you can't afford to or have the access or the time to see somebody like myself or Dr. Cole, just do what you know you can do to make it a little bit better. You'd be surprised at the benefits that will give you in a relatively short period of time. Dr. Cole, we've got to take a break. When we come back, let's, if we have time, talk about one other hugely important issue with gut health, which is food sensitivities and food allergies, which we haven't touched on yet. And I'd love to have your expertise and insight into this. So this is Dr. Kevin Pissarro with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics multivitamins. That's right, certified organic, made with the highest quality standards, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists offer a personalized approach to help you with your health needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling, or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green
Apothecary. Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Today, we've been talking with Dr. Will Cole about issues related to the GI system. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Cole and his practice, you can visit www.drwillcole.com. So, Dr. Cole, we've kind of talked about mostly bacterial issues related to GI health. We've given out some ideas, some suggestions, talked about some concepts. Can you, in these last few minutes of the show, talk to us a little bit about food sensitivities and food allergies and how they relate to gut health?
So there's food sensitivities, there's food allergies, and there's food intolerances. And we throw those words around a lot, and I think that people can get a little bit thrown off on what they actually mean. Food allergies are typically this, you know, immune-mediated, anaphylactic, this immediate response that people can have, you know, they need EpiPens for, or they have this rash flare-up, this but sensitivities are different. They are typically delayed reactivities. They're causing low-grade inflammation. They can cause some GI flare-ups. And then there's intolerances, which are non-immune-mediated, and they're typically due to, like, a enzyme deficiency. So that if you're lactose intolerant, you're not making lactase. You need to support it that way. So what I see mostly clinically are food intolerances or food reactivities, and they're typically secondary to intestinal permeability issues. So I don't, for the person eating the standard American diet, I typically don't run food reactivity tests that often, only because what will happen is all these foods, even healthy foods, even the vegetables that we just talked about, will come back as positive. And really what it's a sign is it's not the food's fault. It's not the kale's fault or the sweet potato's fault. It's the leaky gut syndrome or the intestinal permeability that's causing this overreaction, this overinflammation from these healthy foods. So then the patient thinks, heck, I can eat air and ice cubes for the rest of my life. So it's not really helpful from there. You're like, what do I do with this? And so we have to work on healing the gut aggressively so they'll allow their body to not overreact to these healthy foods. But for someone who does eat clean but are still having symptoms, I think food reactivity tests can be helpful because there may be a few foods that are their body's still reacting to because of when they were not having good gut health. It's sort of the remnants of that healing process. So I do use it in some ways. And another thing that I look at is cross-reactivity, which is a little bit different. It's sort of the case of mistaken identity, something called molecular mimicry, where the body is tagging healthy foods with gluten antibodies. So they've gone gluten-free, but they're still having symptoms. The body can tag coffee or egg or potatoes with gluten antibodies, and there's a whole list of them. And this is a blood test that we run on patients to kind of see how the immune system's behaving, so we can further personalize what foods work best for their body.
That sums it up, and it is a very important part of evaluating gut health and understanding gut health. Because as we know, you know, bacterial imbalances lead to a higher rate of potential food sensitivity and food reactivity, and chronic unidentified food reactivity leads to microbiome imbalances. It's kind of, most people have a little bit of a combination of both. So addressing one in a vacuum really isn't all that great, which is why, you know, dietary and nutritional interventions, along with cleaning up the microbes and giving the gut everything it needs as far as healing, need to usually be done in tandem in order to get the best results. So, Dr. Cole, we're out of time. I had a really good time today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and I'm wishing you all the best of health until next time. Take care.
Did you know at Village Green Apothecary, we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more. That's right. In addition to our big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. Today and every day at Village Green, we care about our customers. We've been providing the best nutrition and healthy living products for over 50 years. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.